You're listening to an ESA podcast brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. ESA, promoting the science of ecology.
I'm Terrence Houston, and this is The Ecologist Goes to Washington, a podcast program by the Ecological Society of America, where we interview scientists involved with public policy. Today, I'll be interviewing Scott Collins on his tenure as president of the Ecological Society of America. Over the past few years, you've participated in meetings with the New Mexico Congressional Delegation through the annual Congressional Visits Day organized by the Ecological Society of America and the American Institute of Biological Sciences. Could you describe the experience and the types of interactions you had through this event?
From the standpoint of New Mexico, my congressional representative and both my senators are very supportive of research and essentially the environment. New Mexico really depends on the environment as one of the major sources of money for the economy. One of the best things that has come out of it really is that from the meetings in D.C., we've gotten connections with some of the staffers here in the home state, in our home state. And so I've had opportunities to take some of those staffers on pretty long trips out to the Sevilleta to show them the research that we're doing, take them to the field station, have them interact with our undergraduate researchers. And I think that has a big impression when you can actually get them out there and they can see what's happening, what, you know, how these funds are being used and the kind of training and outreach that we're doing in collaboration with the research projects that are going on out there.
What other notable interactions have you had with policymakers through your work as an ecologist?
You know, I did spend 10 years at NSF as a program director in the ecology program. The thing that's important about it, about being a program officer there and taking your perspective and representing the research community to those higher administrators, is that you can really help emphasize the value of the kinds of programs that NSF can provide, the kinds of funding opportunities that they can provide that will benefit the research community. So I think it's a pretty important and very enjoyable thing to do for a period of time. 10 years was a long period of time, but it's still a really important activity for many of us to participate in.
How did you begin your involvement with the Ecological Society of America, and what led you to become interested in serving as the Society's president?
Well, I joined ESA in 1976 in the first year of my master's program, and I did that to subscribe to the journals at the membership rate. It was also in 1976 that I went to the very first annual meeting of ESA, and I must admit I was totally lost the entire time that I was at that annual meeting. And the meetings were smaller then. They were held on university campuses. Part of the reason why I was completely lost at my first annual meeting was that the meeting was also in New Orleans, which didn't help because that was somewhat of a distraction. But I really enjoyed the meeting and saw the value of sort of meeting other people and interacting with other ecologists. And it's interesting how over, you know, you start going the first time and then the next time you go, you see some of the same people and you build up this really nice network of colleagues that you see and interact with over the years. I've been involved with ESA management a little more through both the chairing the vegetation and the long-term studies sections. And then Jim Richmond asked me to be chair of the publications committee, and I was pleased to do that. That committee is very busy. It's one of the more active committees, and it's very important because, you know, as I said, I joined the society to get subscriptions to the journals, and so that publications are one of the key things that we do that the membership is aware of. By spending 10 years in Washington, I got to know a lot of the staff at headquarters and got to appreciate what happened there and you know, what their roles were and their successes. Quite honestly, I never expected to be asked to run for president, and of course, once asked, I never expected to be elected. It's a fantastic honor, and I really have enjoyed it. I enjoyed being president for a year, but that year does go by very quickly. So I tell people now that, you know, being president was great, but being past president is even better. You're president for 1 year, but you're past president forever. And so it was a great opportunity.
When you assumed the ESA presidency, what goals did you have for your year-long term? Were there certain ESA initiatives that you wanted to see advanced And do you think these objectives came to fruition?
Yeah, so that's it's a good question, because when you are elected president, you have this notion, or at least some people think, that you suddenly change the flavor of the society for a year, in your own sort of grand vision. And, serving on the governing board for a year as president-elect allows you to sort of see, how things function and operate, and where you can and can't make a difference. To me, one of the most important things from the standpoint of that is to not jerk the society around. That, it's actually operating pretty well, the sort of the fundamental roles of the society. And there are all kinds of little bells and whistles and noodling that needs to go on to just make things better, right? And to work in that direction with the other members of the governing board and with the staff. So I came along, and the Earth Stewardship Initiative was already in place, and it had been really three presidencies prior to mine that were emphasizing different aspects of the Earth Stewardship Initiative. And I wanted to continue to keep that initiative alive and make that sort of the grand theme, and to try to highlight a couple of other components of that might not have been, that were still being developed or hadn't been really developed at all. So I think that through the Earth Stewardship Initiative, we still have opportunities to reach out to different kinds of communities that can help us reach a different public and communicate what we are trying to do here. And that, in my particular interest, is the arts community. And it comes partly from some experience with the LTR network that has this growing long-term ecological research combined with the arts and humanities. And I think that's a cool thing that we can do within Earth Stewardship as a means of communicating and reaching out to different kinds of community. A couple of other things that were important to me, and again, these are somewhat big and small at the same time, the publications. I got started because of publications as a member. And I still think that we need to modernize them. And we were dealing with some really interesting challenges with regard to open access and how open access might actually affect the bottom line of ESA, the society, and its long-term viability. And so I was particularly interested in investigating and getting input for the society with regard to what are some of the things we can do to move our publications and essentially our society onto, a new funding model, right, that's mm-hmm. not going to be so easy to support the society purely on institutional subscriptions. And yet I feel that open access is an incredibly important thing for both the authors of our papers to have them more widely read. I think everyone benefits from that. The other thing I was interested in is just sort of pushing us on the annual meeting. I think there are things about the annual meeting that we could do. We should adjust formats. We should try new things. We should create more excitement within the annual meeting. And in that case, these Ignite sessions, I think, is a good example of a kind of thing that we can think about that makes the annual meeting more interesting. And so, as president, you can sort of nudge these things along within the governing board. But ultimately, the governing board is really about, the solid financial management of the society. And it's a big responsibility, and it's a nice deliberative board, and they're very thoughtful about how that should operate and how we should function. So.
During the most recent ESA annual meeting, you participated in an Ignite session on the society's role in shaping the future of ecology. Would you reflect on key points you made regarding ESA's role in addressing environmental challenges?
Sure. First of all, doing an Ignite session is terrifying. If you've spent, a lot of years giving 15-minute presentations and you get fairly casual about them, realizing that your slides are going to change whether you like it or not, and that you have 15 seconds to make a point is really, it's a fun way to sort of convey information. On the other hand, doing one, you have no idea actually if you're making any sense or if you're actually getting your points across. But to me, the message I was really trying to convey is that I still think that the society or that ecology as a whole kind of comes across as a negative, and that we have a message about how much the world is falling apart, and we sort of watch that and document that all the time. And yet, in order to gain more support for what we do, I think we need to start talking more about the society or the research, the teaching, and the activities that our members do in regards to solving problems. And so this is where I think the Public Affairs Office at ESA can help change that tone. The things that that group, you know, broadcasts and advertises can talk about how ecological knowledge was used to help fix a problem. So we don't have to just go on and on about how this is going wrong or that's going wrong, but we can sort of embed that in the story, you know, that there was something that was some environmental issue that ecology helped resolve. And I think if we can start putting that message out there, and the society can be very prominent in doing so, that we can kind of change the flavor of the way we're viewed, and that will help broaden our impact and perhaps give us even more opportunities to apply ecological knowledge to solving environmental problems.
What advice would you give to your successors about the role of ESA president?
Sure. I mean, one of the things that happens when you become president and the announcement goes out, you know, welcoming the new president, and a number of people will, that, you know, you don't know that well, will write to you and start asking you to make certain things or make certain changes or complaining about the way the world works. And I think one of the first things is to try not to fight every battle or solve every problem. It can't be done. And so you want to pick a couple of issues and really think about what they can do to benefit the society and to try to move those forward. But at the same time, you don't want to jerk around the society. That, you know, the ESA staff and headquarters are very responsive to what the president and the governing board wants. And there needs to be sort of consistency. You know, we need to move forward, we need to push people, and we need to always, you know, look for positive change. But you can't sort of make these huge sort of grandiose plans about how things are going to operate differently within the society. And another message I think is really important is to trust the staff in Washington. I mean, once you get to watch and meet them and operate with them, you'll realize just how good they are, the quality of the work that comes out of there. And their advice is really wise. And so that's, you know, something I certainly would tell anybody that wants to be in this role. The governing board itself is very deliberative and thoughtful, and at times it can be frustrating. But I think that's an important role for the governing board to play. In my case, I was pushing harder for a little more of open access with our journals. And, you know, there was some pushback because of concern about the financial bottom line. Nevertheless, I think I got to make some points, key points, that help us think about ways that the society can change. And that's how you want to sort of take advantage of the presidency, take advantage of that forum that you have. And as I've joked, I think on my Twitter account, my ESA Twitter account, is that I think my greatest accomplishment as president was getting the Twitter button on our ESA publications. So, yeah, so think big, you know.
And that was ESA past president Scott Collins. Thanks so much for listening, and please join us next time when The Ecologist Goes to Washington.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. Music was provided by Dr. Nicholas Catelli. For a link to Dr. Catelli's homepage, more information about ESA, or additional podcasts, please visit www.esa.org. Thanks for listening.